Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow. You know, to come up here after Sister Duncan is almost like, you know, as they say, chopped liver. You know, wow. That is awesome. Sister Duncan, I thank you. There was a total message in that song alone. Wow. Well, as you heard, my name is Richard Greenidge. You probably heard that name twice this morning. I'm the younger of the two. Okay. With that, and today being Youth Sunday, I didn't even realize it. I was deep in another message, and the Lord kind of said to me, you know, it's Youth Sunday. You need to talk to the youth. And I said, okay. And right away, he gave me a couple of scriptures that I think is very important for us to think about. And just before I jump into that, I was at a funeral on Monday, and one of the very verses that I'm about to read was opened up, and it spoke to young people. And it's funny because just as I was about to go in, I got a phone call. And I'm going like, I started out to answer, and I said, let me see, because nothing had started yet. And I answered the phone, and a very familiar voice was on there. And they were talking to me about some things which you guys just heard. And it kind of like kept me speechless. And because Ronald, we are definitely going to miss you. You are a powerful young man in this assembly, and we are definitely going to miss you. So God be with you and your lovely fiance, soon to be your wife. And I know Brother Wilson was giving you a bunch of kids right away, but you know, take it in stride, let the Lord lead, okay? That's all I can say. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to share your word. And as we speak to not just young people, but to everyone, Lord, that we remember who you are, and that if it was not for you, none of us would be here. So, Lord, we ask that you would open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds to receive from you. Lord, this mouth that is going is only a tool for you. So let whatever comes out be directly from you. And that this flesh is hidden behind your cross. And that is it. We give you praise in Jesus' precious and most holy name. Amen. First verse that I would like us to look at is found in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Chapter 1, I'm sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And verses 3 through 7. And it's so important as we look at this. The Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy because Paul is about to go or has left on his missionary journey. And as I looked at that, he says, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Understand that no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes, rather than godly edification which is in faith. Now, the purpose of the commandments is love, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. For which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. And as I stop there, there's a lot of things that were said right in those few verses that applies to everyone. And I'm going to say the youth that is anywhere from 0 to 102. That's all youth. Because if you're not underground, you're young. Okay. As Paul was called teaching him and telling him to listen or follow no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless arguments. You know, as young people, you can get tied up if you tell individuals that you're a Christian. They start giving you all kinds of silly questions. Questions that, first of all, does not have anything to do with salvation. Where did Adam get his wife? How did Cain go about without this? What does that have to do with your salvation? Nothing. Or they want to know, well, how did the family get started? And all those kind of things. Those are things that God alone knows and directs and handles. For you who are going or are already in institutions of higher learning, don't be fooled by the term higher learning, colleges of institutions, or all those kind of things. Because in those institutions, there are certain things that you need to be aware of. In Romans chapter 1, verses 22 through 23, Paul addresses this again. And he speaks to Rome, as it were, Christians there, and others. And he says to them in those two verses that they being wise, professing to be wise, they became fools. And we see the evidence of that. In verse 23, it says, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into images made like corruptible man. And we see that all around. And birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. That's what's happening today. That's what's happening into the institutions that we go through for all these certificates and degrees and everything like that. If we don't keep our focus on the Lord, we get wrapped up in silliness. If you listen to what's being taught to our children in elementary school and being endorsed, it has nothing to do with what God is teaching us and telling us. Two women, and they want to adopt children, and the law allows it to happen. Now, if you want to do things on your own, there is nowhere in the Bible that says you can't do what you want to do. But there is a definite plan that God has, and it doesn't involve two women or two men. That book of Romans, and this is not what I'm going to go in today, but it speaks so specifically of what is happening today, and it was written millennia ago. But yet it is very present today. The commandments, as he mentions, he says, the commandments are good. God gave them to us so that we could know the standards that God wants us to live by. Now, we kind of take the commandments and we try to make it a part that we are able to. We're going to keep all 10 commandments. Listen, we can't keep one. Adam couldn't keep one. Adam was told one thing: do not eat of that tree. Adam didn't listen. Oh, this was good. It tastes good. It's good for food, so let me have it. And he had it. And here we are today. However, the commandments are a guide for us to live better. You know what it talks about in there? It says, they show us we need a Savior. Do we try to keep the commandments? The big ones we can keep. Don't murder. I don't think anybody here is willing to murder. Okay, good. It says, you know, the hard part now is to love. That's the hard part. I can love, you know, my wife up until a point, and then all of a sudden, I don't love her anymore. What's that about? God loves us in spite of what we do, in spite of how things are. Oh, she burned the food. Nope, can't love her anymore. Okay, well, teach her how to cook, that's all. But still love her. In 1 Timothy 1 and 5, it says, it tells us the purpose of the commandments is to love. Now, how is that going to happen? Not according to the way the world does, okay? The world shows us love in a fickle way. Sometimes I love you, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I can be close to you, sometimes I don't want to be, okay? We struggle and we fail. It says from a good conscience. Now, there is a challenge, a good conscience. No matter how we think our conscience is, there is always some mischievous thought lurking and hanging around that throws us off the mark. Just think about it. I was listening to Brother Stanley this morning, and there was two sessions that he had, and one of them was talking with his son. It was an interview with his son, Andy, and they were talking about prayer. And he says, should we pray out loud or should we just pray in our heads? Now, even before they had this discussion, when I pray at home, many times I pray out loud, sometimes I pray in my head. But when you pray in your head, you get sidetracked. There are other thoughts hanging around inside there. And just as you really get, and all of a sudden some others, oh, did I turn off the stove just before I came down? Oh, did I have enough water in the pot when I was making coffee? Those things interrupt the flow between you and God. So we need to realize our consciences are not free of distractions. And this one, of a sincere faith, without Christ's help and guidance, we suffer with faith. Faith is a struggle. And here's the thing, the very evidence of that very thought. When we talk about faith in Christ to someone who does not know Christ, and young people, you're going to meet this. You're going to meet this. And I say young people, but I mean all of us. We're going to meet this. When we share Christ with someone, they go, well, you know, I can't see him, so, you know, I don't, you know, believe. And there's a couple of things I just want to bring to our thought pattern right now. If we don't believe in bacteria, does it stop from killing us? I want to know, has anybody ever seen a cancer cell? But it's taking millions of people out every day. Here's the one I love the most, and this was shared by someone else. He says, do you believe in gravity? They go, oh yeah, well, you know. I say, have you seen gravity? Well, no, I haven't seen gravity, but you believe. And here's another thing. Whether you believe in gravity or not, here's the ultimate test. Go to the highest point that you can go to and take a leap. Do you float up or do you float down? Gravity is in effect, whether you see it or not. So when it comes to Christ, there are individuals that are going to challenge you to believe, well, I don't know because I don't see them. There's a lot of things we don't see. But if they weren't in existence, we wouldn't be here. And one of them right now is every one of us in here is breathing. Is that correct? Did you think about taking the next breath? No. You just do it so naturally. Listen, let Christ be like that in your life. Let it be so natural that you cannot do anything without first consulting him. When we follow other teachings, we go astray. It's obvious. When the whirlwind passes by, and this is from Proverbs, and I saw this and I said, I have to share this because it makes so much sense. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more. There are whirlwinds that God sends, and the wicked disappear because they choose not to believe. The other part of that says, but the righteous has everlasting foundation. They will not be moved. If you are a child of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're on a sound foundation. Nothing can move you. When we try to teach or preach what we do not understand, we get lost and confused. But Christ is not leading. And when we are trying to do it on our own, we fail, really, really suffer. There's no strength in what we try to do because God does not get the glory. Today, as young people, there are many distractions and voices that vie for your attention. I was talking with someone just a little the other day, and they were talking about these people in the phones. And I said, yeah. I saw someone almost get hit by a car because this was more important than where he was going. I've seen little clips where people are walking and they're talking, or not even talking, but they're just on their phone doing what they're doing and walking through poles. Walking to poles. Or even to other people. Okay? And that's not just it. Video games. Okay? It doesn't matter whether you're 12 or 30. Video games can wrap you up. Hours at a time. But I ask you, if you had to sit down with the Word of God for 30 minutes, do you look at the clock and say, oh, 30, I got it. It's only 5 minutes. It's only 6 minutes. Because it's a distraction. God wants to talk to you. He's called you for a specific purpose. I call the young because they are strong. I've seen many individuals. The other day, again, I was about to, we were leaving here yesterday, I was running home, and I turned the corner and I had to stop. It was a gentleman, he must have been going 2 steps every 3 minutes across the street. And I got like, wow. He was by himself, he had his cane, he was going across, and I'm like, wow. But if you're not paying attention, somebody would have knocked him down. It happens so much. But again, young people, you are strong. You're called to walk and to do what God has called you to do. It is amazing how we fail to meet the mark. We're in Olympic season right now. And I know many of us have been watching the Olympics. We are just marveled at what these athletes can do. But I noticed one thing. They're all there for what? The gold. But it requires something before you even get to that arena. It requires dedication to your sport. What does that mean? Okay, dedication talks about your practice, your diet, all those things. There are those who come who think they've done enough. And I've watched in the races those who think they've done enough. They've made it through their country to represent them there, but once the race is started, they're at the back. Not enough. But the one who gets the gold prize is the one that never thinks he's done enough. He keeps going, and he keeps going. That's what the Lord is asking of us. If we're to hit the mark that he has for us, to get the reward that he has for us, we can never say, okay, I've done enough. We must keep going. We must be always in that state of, I got to do a little bit more. I got to do a little bit more. You know, it's funny because when you're really doing the right thing, you'll sit down and you go, my morning devotion is going to be, you know, just one chapter. And if you're really doing it, you'll find that that one chapter leads you to another verse, which leads you to another book, which leads you to another chapter. And next thing you know, 2 hours have gone by. So I know, and you'll figure, oh, well, oh, you know, that's enough. But yeah, you have to stop. You got to continue the rest of your day. But you realize in that you have done what God is asking you to do is to spend time with him. Because when you spend time with God, he rewards you. Yes. Yes. It may not be that day. It may not be that week. It may not even be that month. It could be a year from now. And as you are moving along, all of a sudden, something you read, you studied, God imparted into you a year ago, comes to the surface. And you're able to get the victory. That's what God has for you. That's what he wants you to do. If you're seeking the prize, you have to put in the work. If you don't put in the work, you're not going to get the prize. And that is amazing. Let me tell you. Let's not forget that those who have attained the prize come back to defend it. What does that mean? Well, we've seen many athletes in this Olympic season who are defending champions. They came back to defend it. I think there's one young lady who is a four-time gold medalist in her event. That means over 12, 16 years, she has put in the effort to maintain that level of recognition. Can we put in enough time so that God can pour into you, into us, that which is necessary for us to maintain a walk of integrity to draw others to him? Can we do that? The one who has achieved the goal and receives the prize, they know what it takes to get there. And they don't give up. There are athletes in our congregation right now. Some of them may win scholarships to other schools, to colleges. Listen, don't give up on the Lord. Do your sport. Do your studies. Don't give up on the Lord. Paul reminds Timothy of what was told of him, the prophecies. He didn't tell that to him to inflate his head. He told that to him so that he can reflect on them and keep the faith to fight the good fight and avoid those who launch out on their own strength and are shipwrecked on the rocks of life. There are those, you have friends that you might have gone to school with. Some of them might have even been in church with you. And they decided they're going to take it on their own. They don't need God. And then later on in life, you see them walking the streets, disheveled, looking lost and confused, because they hit a point where their answer did not meet what was needed to get them through. But Paul tells Timothy, great things were spoken of you. And this morning we spoke great things of a lot of people. We spoke them of Ronald. We mentioned other young people that were around. Stay the course. Young people, anchor your ship in Christ. That's very important. Let him be the captain of your life and avoid the rocks that will sink you. Trust me, there's stuff that will sink you. And you may not see it coming. But then when it's right there, you're gone. Don't let that be the case. Prepare for the race that you will receive the reward when the Lord returns. Because when he returns, he's coming back for us. And he's going to have a reward for us, for those who follow him. Paul says in this same portion, he says, I have run the race. I have kept the faith. You want that to be your motto, so that at the end of your days, you have no regrets, because you know the Lord is saying, come home. Come home. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Don't be sidetracked by all the glitters. I'm going to ask a question, and then I'm going to wrap right here. Question is, does anybody know what pyrite is? Pyrite, it's a mineral. Anybody know what it is? Well, I'm disappointed. Pyrite is a mineral that resembles gold. It looks like gold, but it's worthless. So don't go after the pyrite. Go after the goal. What is the goal? Jesus Christ. Seek after him. Don't let go, because that's the anchor. That's the foundation that we need in order for us to do this life walk. And when we don't follow him, seek after him, and make this our priority. This anchor keeps us stable. But when we don't have it, we drift. And any ship that doesn't have an anchor always gets shipwrecked. You may not always hear about it, but it happens. So with that, all I'd like to say is, if this morning you don't want your ship to crash upon the rocks of life, you need to come forward now and say, I need Jesus as my anchor. I need Jesus as my foundation. I want to be in a place where God can definitely give me the reward that I've earned because I have followed him. So this morning, don't get lost, or this afternoon, don't get lost in the shuffle of life. Don't let strange doctrines grab your ear, because in these institutions of higher learning, there are a lot of strange doctrines and a lot of kids. We've had lots of young people leave here, and all of a sudden, they don't believe in God anymore. How does that happen? How does that happen? Because they were not anchored here. And don't expect mommy and daddy to remind you, okay, Johnny, it's time to read your Bible. Because if it doesn't come out from you naturally, you know you need to talk to the Lord. Lord, what am I doing that I don't have that desire for you? Lord, I need you because I don't want to be lost in this confusion that's going on out here. We have a lot of confused young people because their life is depending on strange doctrines. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. Lord, we ask that our young people, young and old, may not get caught up by strange doctrines, by voices, and things that do not honor you. Let us not worship things that are done by hand, that have no strength or power other than what we give it, because you, God, have told us not to do that, because you and you alone deserves our worship. You and you alone are the only true God. So this morning we pray for everyone here, those that don't know you as Savior and have a question, let them ask so that they may know. Because after today, there is no excuse that I did not hear about Jesus, because he is the one and only true Savior. We give you praise now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.